Sorry, my voice is a little weird. I got sick a week ago and I'm shaking it off. It is episode 23 of Ain't That Some Shit with Emma. It is October 2nd, year of our Lord, 2023. Goodness. Sorry, I will try to limit clearing my throat so it's not messing with the audio. But let's get into it. We had the second GOP debate. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see it, but the victor of the last debate, Vivek, he showed well. His polling did not reflect that, but a lot of people were searching his name. I'm still on the fence. Vivek, sorry. Vivek rhymes with fake. Or like he says, Vivek rhymes with cake. I'm still not sure. I have a weird feeling about him. He says a lot of things I agree with, but then I've, excuse me, I've looked into his past appearances, past statements, and a lot of them don't line up. So, we'll see. Another person who did well, Nikki Haley, she did okay this debate. She really went after Vivek. Like, she, that a lot of people dogpiled on him, which has me still on the fence because even though I do get a weird feeling, it's like, but is it because he's young and they all don't want him in the club? Every person on that stage has so much more experience than he has. He just got in there. Sure, he says that he doesn't have any funding. He's multimillionaire, I think, so of course it's not an issue. Maybe that's why they acted that way. I don't know. I don't know, but it was a shit show this time around. The moderators couldn't hold it together. This British guy, I love how he speaks. He pronounces the words beautifully in English. Moderator GOP debate two. You guys might know him. I think he's a newscaster. Oh, maybe I read the wrong one. They had Univision, Ilia Calderon. Yeah, that I knew. Stuart Varney. There we go, that's his name. Stuart Varney from Fox News Media. I vaguely, barely recall seeing him anywhere else. But, anyways, it was all that great. I think it's just a waste of time, just making more appearances. Nothing new or amazing was said. But the person who did do well was DeSantis, governor of Florida. He stood out quite a bit because he didn't jump into the dog pile. He didn't go after Vivek. Instead, he waited for the discourse to quiet down, and then he interjected and answered the question. Beautiful execution. I'm surprised because in the first debate he was kind of a dead fish up there. His mannerisms seemed weird. I don't know, maybe he's just awkward in front of a camera, which is fine. It's a national stage, it's huge. I completely get it, but he needs to shake that off quick. Anyone who's been on stage would know. You just gotta push through it. Act like you're normal, act like you're comfortable, smile. Every time I've gone up on stage for bodybuilding, it's a thrill. It's a rush, and you have to go with it. You have to go with it. You cannot resist it. It will take you down. And not everyone is used to letting go and enjoying the moment, especially when all the attention's on you. So, I mean, he did pretty well. Polls looked good. The polling data looked pretty good after the second debate. So there's hope for Ronnie. Maybe. Goodness, we're in October, guys. The year of the train is almost over. Speaking of the year of the train, I thought about this just now. Sorry, my dog's drinking water. If you can hear that, my apologies. But, let's see. I want to check back on East Palestine or East Palestine, Ohio. How are they doing now? Let me see. Local news. See if there's what? No, it's February. Is there nothing new? No way. Okay, hold on. Let's go to top stories on safety, see if there's anything. Because Biden still hasn't visited. He hasn't. Car accident. Guy jumps into the river to avoid police. No. Is safety just related to crime? I mean, okay, I see car crashes. Well. Perhaps not. Let me see if I can find Palestine. Because they should have like a standard, a fixed page of large events where they put updates. And I'm not sure where exactly to find that. I doubt the EPA would have something to that level. Yeah, no, I think everything stopped. Oh, site profile. East Palestine train derailment. Great. So, what now? Yeah, I see pictures of it. It's the EPA. All right. The site is response.epa.gov/site/site_. Okay, you know what? This is too long. Just search EPA East Palestine train derailment, and that's where they have everything. So, okay, background February 3rd, 2023, da-da-da, had 53 cars derailed. I don't think I mentioned that detail the first time I went over this. The Norfolk Southern train derailment. Okay, where do you guys keep the updates? Okay, so they did their testing on April 24th. They released a new interactive mapping tool. Ooh. How to use this map. Each symbol on the map represents a location and date where water was tested. Hey, good. So they tested a lot of areas. Finalized results received. So can you click on something and get a result? Sample, finalized results, not detected, not detected, not detected. Seems like things are looking good because I'm seeing a lot of green. And that's the derailment, and that's all the affected water. It's quite a large area. Holy shit. I wish I could measure it and tell you guys exactly how far. You know what? Let's see. From the most northern area, what is this? No. I need to zoom in. SNPJ? What is that? It's near SNPJ. I don't know. What are you? Are you an airport? Okay. All right. Let me just go over. Okay, fine. From Derringer Corners, that would be my northern point of exposure to Georgetown. All right, so let's look this up. Maps. Derringer Corners. There we go. PA two. Directions to Georgetown. Wait, is that Georgetown, Texas? No. No. Okay, alright, because that's what's pulled up on the maps. Like, no fucking way. Still in Pennsylvania. What is this name? Wait, what's the name of the lake? I'm sorry, there we go. Ambridge Reservoir is even closer. Okay. Cambridge Reservoir. Nice. All right. How far is that? That is 36 miles. Okay, for 36 miles through of affected water. Right. So where can I find? I'm gonna have to do some hunting. I didn't expect them to have an actual site, but good on them, because it makes it a lot easier to keep eyes on. But I haven't heard anything more coming out of it. Perhaps that's why Biden's not visiting. Maybe his administration's thinking there's no point. What is the point of going to a place that it, I don't, then you have to argue his appearance in Hawaii was laughable. His meeting with a soldier who, oh goodness, I believe he lost an arm and a portion of his leg in Afghanistan. The, oh goodness, it went badly. Your mom of Marine who died in Kabul attack. No, that's not it. There was a video, and I need to find it again because it happened quite a while ago, but I never brought it up. Biden went to the hospital to visit a soldier who was recovering from several large injuries, and he goes to shake his hand and sees that one arm is in a cast, the other's not there. And he's like, oh. And then Biden whispers, oh, what do you want? But no, but he whispers it like he whispers creepily, everything else. What do you want? Yeah, I don't know. So I don't know if him not visiting East Palestine was a tactical decision. Because they're just not sure what is going to come out of his mouth. I don't know. But no, it was terrible. And then the mom goes on to say that she wanted to get physical. She wanted him to leave the room. But how do you shush a president? I mean, I might. I've stood in the way of authority when it comes to family. There was a police officer that was just giving me and my husband attitude, and I got in between. Thank God we didn't get arrested. It could have gone badly. But I didn't like how he was talking to us. I didn't like how we called them. We called them, and they come over to our place, and they're acting like what we're saying is not a big deal. And my husband recites the penal code, which this crime affects or is subject to be adhered to, like this crime violates this law. And the guy wants to go in this circular argument about how it's yeah, sure it's a law, but we can't really enforce it. It's like, the fuck are you for then? I said it nicer than that, please. But yeah, I don't want to speak for you. I don't know if you would interject in that moment when a president is visiting. I mean, a president's different than a police officer. But see what's going on and be like, yeah, no, get the fuck out. I feel like I would. I feel like most people would if it got to that level. I don't understand how Biden still has an approval rating, and I don't know how committed those people would be. Like, to not step in between their family and someone insulting. Yeah, whatever. So, I got the clip ready for you. Here we go.
Jill Biden, their little entourage of people, and like photographer. Right away, like, remember him coming up to me, trying to shake my hand, and I look at him. I don't have an arm. And my left arm is in this big-ass cast, completely immobile. All I can do is move my head. My arm's gone. And he says, oh, and, like, kind of stands up and then, like, goes over to reach for my fingers because about an inch of my fingers are showing and just, like, grabs my fingers. Doesn't greet me or anything. Just almost immediately starts talking about how their son served in the military. Doesn't say anything about what happened. My mom said that. She was like, I don't give a fuck. Say, I don't care what you guys fucking do. She's like, you better take care of him for the rest of his fucking life. I'm sitting there, and he comes over to me, and he leans over me. I have a picture of this to prove it. I'll show you this picture that I have. He's like this close to my face, and he's like, what do you want? And
I said, what do you want?
And I said, what? He said, what do you want? And I'm just like confused. I just got blown up. I just fucking saw my friends die next to me. I just want to be myself. And he's like, huh? And my mom's furious, and she's like, he said he just wants to be himself. He just wants to be him. Jill Biden.
Yeah. So, I have no words. I have no words. Just heard that from the wounded Marine who has to continue life. One arm less than he's used to. I don't know about you, but I used to have discussions with my friends, you know, as young people do, just nonsensical what ifs, and it'd be like, or would you rather lose an arm or a leg? And it's always leg, because the prosthetics aren't too bad. I mean, you lose an arm, that means you lose a hand, you lose certain capabilities. Sure, you could try to get your foot to do it, or they're improving prosthetics for the hands. There are some that move, but it's not the same. And I'm sure that putting it on, there's some difficulty, there's some hindrances. Depending upon which arm you use, you might have to relearn how to write. When it comes to feeding yourself, dressing yourself, yeah, arms are crucial. Hands are, there's no way around it, so I can't imagine. And then having the president, you know, people who are visited by the president, it's a moment that you want to tell your kids about. I met the leader of the free world. I met someone really fucking important that's name is written in history books that people will learn about, and they'll look at his picture and they'll remember him. Like, that's something. That's huge. And having to share that experience, just being like, yeah, my fingers are pretty much all that's left that you can see. Oh gosh, poking out of a cast while your other arm's not there. Oh, what makes matters worse is that he says his son died in service. His son, Beau Biden, did not die in service. He died from cancer. This is a lie that Biden has been saying for years, it seems. It's everything's coming out now, and it's a little odd that the media companies that have usually been supportive and favorable of his party, of the Democratic Party, they're kind of turning their backs on him. I've just been noticing it recently that more incidences and recorded incidences of his flops and failures are making their way onto mainstream media waves. So, something to think about. If he just takes a dive before the election, if he's somehow not going to... I mean, they're already not doing debates. Like, no one's challenging him mentally, cognitively, in a debate arena where you actually have to be quick on your feet. You can't just flounder and have people save you and tell you where to fucking exit the stage. No, it's live action. I don't think he's capable, that whatever they're giving him to make him animated, those few occurrences, or when he has his angry outbursts, I don't think it's working in the long term. And they see it, and they're trying to devise an exit plan. So if we see him take a nosedive, and when I say this, I mean, like, from a PR standpoint, I feel like they had a hand. Because I feel like he's been propped up for so long that when they take away whatever support beams they're using to keep him going, he's gonna collapse. And it won't be his fault. Won't be mostly his fault. So, just to go over a few things, I was curious, how much have we sent to Ukraine and how is it broken up? As of the start of the war, or the start of our interest in it, between January 24th, 2022, and July 31st, 2023, we have sent 76.8 billion. Oof. It's a lot of money. All right. 76.8 billion. 5% was for humanitarian items, I guess. That is 3.9 billion, and these items are emergency food assistance, healthcare, refugee support, and other humanitarian aid. I'm guessing medical. Yeah, healthcare. Okay, fine. All right, that was the smallest, the second smallest percentage of the 76.8 billion given to Ukraine was for grants and loans for weapons and equipment. That was 6%. That was 4.7 billion. It's grants and loans provided through the Foreign Military Financing Program. All right, next up at 24%, equating to 18.3 billion, was security assistance, training, equipment, weapons, logistics support, and other assistance provided through the Ukraine Security Assistance Initiative. This is military. All right, and then the next largest from there at 24, sorry, we read that one, 31%. That is 23.5 billion was for weapons and equipment. Weapons and equipment from Defense Department stocks provided through presidential drawdowns. And next one is just straight financial. That's what it says, financial at 34%, equating to 26.4 billion. Budgetary aid through economic support fund, loans, and other financial support. So 61% of the 76.8 billion, that's more than half, a little over half of 76, was 61%. That was 46.6 billion spent just on military. All right. I feel like it's worth keeping an eye on, especially with how they handled Hawaii. Trying to give $700 to each resident. There are still people missing. I haven't seen a declaration that they found everyone after the fire. Now, Lahaina City, County, hold on. I'm trying to remember. I know it was Lahaina, the mayor of Lahaina, so I'm guessing that's the town. Yep. Death toll has stood at 115 people for more than 2 weeks. Nearly all of Lahaina has been searched by teams, rescuers, cadaver dogs. Okay. Number of people are still missing from the Lahaina wildfires in Maui, totaling 66 missing people. Okay. It's unfortunate. And that's, listen, wherever you stand on the whole Ukraine-Russia thing, I don't care. That's fine. My issue is during the first GOP debate, Nikki Haley attacked Vivek for wanting to pull all of our troops, well, not, we don't have any troops, but just to stop sending money to Ukraine, prevent any of our troops from going over there, preventing any American death on foreign soil and care for ours for a bit. We had that Hurricane Hillary that caused damage. We had the hurricane before, I don't remember the name, that caused damage in Florida. Wildfires throughout, like I understand that the budget is huge. I understand that 13% of it goes to the military complex and it's already spoken for years. However, I refuse to believe that there isn't some funding that we can allocate better to help our people. And Nikki Haley heard this exact point from Vivek, and her response was, "Well, we can do both." It's like, but we're not doing both. If we can do both, fine, let's do both. I do not believe it's possible because, I mean, we're already so many trillion in debt. I know that seems like a fanciful number, but we are a powerhouse of a country. We produce so much. We do. Our GDP is amazing. However, we're taxed heavily. We have people who are still unemployed from COVID. We have many issues. Our supply chain is so fucked up in terms that we rely so much on other people. We do need to focus on ourselves again. Maybe not be complete isolationists, maybe not completely cut ourselves off from everyone and everything that we used to have ties to, but we need to be put on a better budget. This whole "let's just print more money" shit is not, it's not ethical. So I don't believe we can do both. Unfortunately, it shows. So that's a lot for you guys to think about. I will also, and I'm just gonna keep an eye on the candidates. Like I said, I'm on the fence about Vivek. DeSantis needs more spice or something. Mike Pence is a wet towel. Gosh. So during the first debate, he was attacking Vivek mostly on age and experience and being like, "Oh, you're too young to understand," kind of. And that worked for him. It was grouchy, but it worked. This debate, the one that just passed, the second debate, he wanted to make jokes that are so out of character, so unlike him. He's like, "Oh, another candidate is Tim Scott. I like his character. I do." It took me a while to get used to hearing him. He has a southern accent. And even though I worked in Georgia for a little bit, it's still, I don't have the ear for it sometimes, so I need to slow down and really pay attention. I'm used to words being a little bit faster coming out of people. That's all. So, Pence was continuing on to a comment that Tim Scott made. He's like, "I disagree with Tim Scott. Joe Biden shouldn't be on the picket line. He should be on the employment line." And it's not a bad line. It's not a bad joke at all. But the delivery and the person saying it, they didn't, that they weren't in sync. Or maybe the word choice was poor. I don't know. And then he wants to talk about the Department of Education and be like, "Well, I know about teachers because I've been sleeping with or next to one for 38 years." It's like, dude, that's so gross. I get it. I get it. Your wife's a teacher. You could have used that anecdotally. You could have used that fact and worked it in a bit better. No one wants to think about your sex life. I don't want to think about Mike Pence's sex life. No. So, yeah, the second debate was very odd. Whoever told Mike Pence to do that to connect with people was so wrong. So incredibly wrong. DeSantis, I think, came out the clear winner. Actually, you know what everyone's saying, the clear winner, who the clear winner is Trump. You might not believe it, and it's probably still going strong. But from what I saw before, Trump was outpolling everyone. Oh, excuse me. he was doing better. He was like at 40-something percent, and everyone else was trailing behind. Let me see if I can find it. All right, here's the graph. Eventually, there's no graph. All right. No. This is terrible. Okay. Well, according to this poll, the country split down the middle again in terms of going for Trump or Biden. I mean, that was meh. It was normal. Share of potential Republican primary voters with favorable or unfavorable views of the following. Okay, so Republican voters look at Donald Trump, 77% of them favorably. Ron DeSantis is 67, then Vivek is third with 54. Nikki Haley, that's it. The rest of the people don't matter. But yeah, they're still keeping him in the running. They're still holding out for the dawn. I'll be honest, I like his vengeance kind of thing. I'm not really all that thrilled, though. I feel like they're gonna kill him. I feel like if he does win, and I do agree that he has the likelihood to win, I don't think it's gonna be quite that long-lived of a presidency, unfortunately. I don't know anything. If the fucking FBI, NSA is listening, I don't know anything. I have no idea. I'm just saying, there's been a lot of shit thrown at him lately. And if he does succeed, if he does cross the finish line, I don't think he's going home with the trophy. That's all I gotta say about that. And I think this is where it would be best to leave you. I'm sorry, I'm doing this very awkwardly, but I what messed me up was that I recently listened to the 5-hour interview of Andrew Tate on a Patrick Bet David podcast. PPD, Patrick Bet David. And yeah, 5 hours. And the entire time, Andrew Tate is like interjecting with, "I am not suicidal," like him saying, "I am not suicidal." And it had me thinking, I wouldn't be surprised if Donald Trump starts doing that too. Because it's, if Andrew Tate is completely guilty of everything and he is shown to be malicious, I know he came out and said that he did things in the past that he doesn't agree with now. He did coerce women to do webcam modeling or whatever and give him a cut. He was pimping. Yes. He says he's changed. He says that he's engaged or he's married now, one of the two. He's Muslim and he's very focused on living a dutiful life and uphold those values. Fine. My issue is, if he didn't commit those crimes, if it wasn't to the extent that they're painting it out to be, and they're just trying to shut him up, the infamous they, I do believe the deep state has a hand in it. If he is an innocent man being persecuted for his values and stance, that terrifies me. Because then even me doing this podcast would put me in danger. And I mean, you need to have some dignity. You need to have integrity. You need to go through life saying that what I said, I will stand behind. And I do. What terrifies me is that there's people who have the power to stop me from doing that if what is going on with Andrew Tate proves to be in his favor. Same thing with Donald Trump. He claims that all these indictments are fraudulent and that it's not true and that they have people within the state armed against him. And we saw that with the Steele report, the report that Hillary Clinton, her foundation, paid for, to put in the hands of the FBI. The FBI knew that it was fake, that there was no Russian collusion. And the Durham report was released showing all of this. Hillary Clinton is still walking free. The FBI has its issues, but no one's like been imprisoned yet for it. But Donald Trump has to answer to all these indictments. It's worrisome, to say the least. So, just keep your eyes open and your ears. Stand up for what you believe in. Even if, you know, it's going to make some people mad, you're you. No one's going to tell you to live your life, and they shouldn't. No one's going to tell you what you should believe or not. That's not their place. But there are some people who are going to try. And that's just how it is. Oh, goodness. I wish I could have left you with a better message. Well, okay, so I had just gotten sick. I bought some zinc and some vitamin C effervescent tablets. They helped clear. Oh, and I also did a neti pot. I'm just throwing some suggestions just in case you're going through some stuff. Zinc is great. I got these droppers I can drop into the vitamin C concoction, because by themselves they taste terrible. I don't know why I didn't buy the flavored one, whatever. But it helped with mental clarity, because when I have my sinuses congested and inflamed, I don't feel like I think as sharply, and that irritates me. So the zinc was great. The neti pot, warm water mixed with salt in one nostril, out the other, also cleans the sinuses. It's uncomfortable. Not gonna lie to you, it's not the best feeling, but it does help. For my sore throat, I really don't have anything. Like, yeah, tea and honey is nice and everything's supposed to be coating. That all washes away. You have hair-like projections in the back of your throat. They look like a bunch of little fingers in the back of your throat. And from coughing, from having irritation there, they swell and they make it really uncomfortable for you to try and swallow or take deep breaths, because every time you open your mouth, you expose the air, or if you're drinking something, they can come into contact and get irritated that way. So it's best to just leave it alone. Try not to talk so much. If you want to do the tea and honey, fine. I can't stop you. It's not a big deal. It's not going to hurt you. But it's just resting it. Resting it and limiting exposure to, like, excessive cold, for sure. With the weather changing, I'm not going to say put on a mask, but you should try to get the air that you breathe in warmer than what's outside. So, scarves, hell. Pull your t-shirt up when you're walking outside in the cold, so you can kind of have like a I need to find the word of the exact mechanism that causes air. It's like when air is compressed, it gets warmer. I believe so. No, I need to look that up. But anyways, yeah, some kind of barrier. Scarves for sure, t-shirts, turtlenecks if you're into that thing. And yeah, and wash your hands. Freaking people, just because they think that COVID went away, they stop. I saw a guy pick his nose at the gas station, and then he went and he like touched his eyes. I'm like, oh gosh. And you're loading up gas in your car. Sure. Put whatever was on the handle up your nose and breathe it in. Please wash your hands. Hand sanitizer is okay. It's not that great. After a while, it starts building up like a film on your skin. Residue, heavy layer. And that needs to be washed off with soap and water. So I would just say, just go wash your hand if you have a sink available. All right. I am going to sign off for now. keep you updated on the debates and all the, oh, John Fetterman. Hold on. John Fetterman went to several meetings in a t-shirt and basketball shorts, in a hoodie and basketball shorts. And so many people were pissed off. And sorry. And Congress had their dress code change briefly to accommodate him, and then they changed it back. And they're like, we need to have a certain level of decorum, a certain level of class. You know, people should be dressed up. This is a place of business and a place of professionalism. John Fetterman, the senator of Pennsylvania who had a stroke, and now he hears people just go wah, 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 wah. He needs to see closed captions when he's being interviewed, and he had difficulty putting on pants, negotiating pants. I get it. I mean, those who don't know, I'm currently pregnant, so I'm not really loving pants right now. Right now, shorts are the thing. I'm not huge, but I get it, dude. I get it. Every time I bend over and I come back up, I get lightheaded. All right, okay, that's all I got for you. This was Emma, episode 23. Ain't that some shit? Over and out.
Hey everyone, I'm Garrett from Comics Podcast. Be sure to check out our stop motion animation on our YouTube channel, DJ Hatter Comics and Movies, where the stories are inspired by comic book characters such as Batman, Spider-Man, Star Wars characters, and more. Be sure to like the channel and subscribe. Also, make sure to hit the notification bell to keep up with the newest episodes. See you there.